The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood. Salutations, salawat, salam, once upon me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Nuri min nurillah. Marhaba. Khush amdeed. Welcome to one and all to another beautiful episode of the series known as The Light of Guidance. You are watching Madani Channel, and the moment we are broadcasting this wonderful episode all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. MashaAllah. It's a very wonderful evening, and alhamdulillah, we are back with another exciting and beautiful discussion, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Remember, reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the, I would say, greatest ibadat. And the greatest means of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one of those means in which a person doesn't do too much effort, but the reward is immense, something beyond your comprehension and understanding. Just now we shared one beautiful hadith. Another beautiful hadith I would like to share in front of you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon him. Whoever sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 mercies upon him. If someone sends salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes between his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, and he will be with the martyrs on the day of judgment. He will be with the shuhada on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these, you know, narrations which we learn about the excellence, the benefit of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is something which all of us should listen to, and inshallah make an intention to recite as much as we can. We should recite durood upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Today's topic will inshallah be a question, and that question is poverty a blessing? Ye jo ghurbat hai, gharibi hai, is this a blessing, a ni'mat, a bounty from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, many people have this thing in mind that, you know, I'm not so rich, I'm not so wealthy, you know, I'm poor, or I don't have enough money in that. So let me tell you, this poverty, this poorness, this not having wealth is also a form of a blessing from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Inshallah, we'll discuss in today's discussion. And some other beautiful points, inshallah, we will discuss as we carry on. Remember, the entire atmosphere around us, and then we look at the animals, and look at the birds, look at the lions, the tigers, the bears, the those in the ocean, the sharks, the fish, the whales, likewise in the sky, you know, the different varieties of the birds, so many things. If you look around the entire universe and observe, then you will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, it is He who created everything in the earth for you. He created everything for you. And in Urdu, there is a very beautiful poetry which someone has written, and it is that janwar paida kiye teri wafa ke waste, chand suraj aur sitare ziya ke waste, khetiyan sar sabz hai teri ghiza ke waste, jahan tere liye aur tu khuda ke waste. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything for you. All right, in the commentary of this ayat of the Holy Quran, it is mentioned in tafsir suratul jinan that it was said to all the humans that whatever is on the earth, ranging from the rivers, the mountains, the mines, the farms, the seas, etc., were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your worldly and religious benefit. What is the religious benefit? Is that you will witness the wonders on earth and recognize the wisdom and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see the sun rising every morning, you see the sun setting, you see the moon, you see the stars, you see the power of the mountains, you see the oceans, you see the waves gushing and all of this. It and you ponder and think, then you say, subhanallah. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has handled this entire system, this entire nizam in such a beautiful manner that there is no corruption. It doesn't happen that one day the sun forgot to rise, or it doesn't happen that one day the sun got stuck in the middle of the sky and didn't set, or it didn't happen that the waves were coming in the ocean and all of a sudden the waves stopped and the entire ocean came to a standstill. It didn't happen that one day the mountain collapsed and it fell and it tumbled across the earth. Now, these kind of things do not happen. It shows when a person looks at all of this, and he sees that, you know, the mountain is so strong, the sun is so strong, so it's a gigantic ball of gas, you know, the moon is so big, the oceans are so strong, the tides, the waves, everything is so strong. When a person looks at everything, then he says, subhanallah, you know, if these things which are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are so strong that, you know, it's beyond our understanding, then by Allah, we can never, ever, ever, ever comprehend the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has all of these things under His divine control. And not only that, He is also managing everything in the perfect way, in the perfect order. Everything is happening as it's supposed to happen, as it should happen. There is no intermingling, there's no interference, there's no commotion, there's no issues. Alhamdulillah, the entire Nizam is moving smoothly and perfectly. So when a person looks at all of this, Allah Ta'ala says, it is He who created everything in the earth for you. This is your religious benefit. What's the religious benefit? When you look at all of this, then you thank Allah Ta'ala, then you gain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, then you acknowledge the power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you prostrate and you bow in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you thank Allah Ta'ala for all of these blessings. So this is your religious benefit. And what is the worldly benefit? It's obviously you benefit from all of these things. The sun is out, the day comes, you go to work. The sun sets, the moon is out, it's nighttime, it's time for you to sleep. The trees give you fruits, the plants, the vegetables, the all things for you to eat. The animals, you eat the meat, you eat your mutton, your beef, your chicken, and all of these kind of things. So this nature, it is for you. You have the river, you know, you wash your clothes in the river, or you take a bath in the river, all right, or you use the river water for maybe watering your crops. So everything is for you, for the religious benefit and for the worldly benefit. Subhanallah, when a person sees all of these bounties, then the question comes in the mind that, okay, if everything was created for the human beings, then what were the human beings created for? What is your purpose? What is your reason? What is your purpose of creation? Subhanallah. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn and mankind but to worship me. The only purpose, the only reason of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it is mentioned in tafsir of this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that He did not create jinn and mankind only for them to seek the world and become engrossed in it. Rather, He created them so that they worship Him and attain the recognition, the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse shows that human beings, jinnat, they were not created in vain. They were not created purposeless. They were not created without a reason. They were created for the sole purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so everything is for you. Your duty is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, we have, you know, such people in today's time, and majority of us are a victim of this, that, you know, we have been so engrossed in this world that we think that, you know, this world is everything. And one of the main focal factors of this is the wealth. We see the wealth, and because of that, we become so greedy that we are diving into the ocean of this world, and, you know, there is no way coming back out to the shore. Right? So this world, the temptations of the world, the wealth, the money, all of this was supposed to, you know, a Muslim was supposed to know what he's supposed to do in this world, what he shouldn't do, which things he can go close to, which things he can't go close to. All of this was supposed to be in front of him. But unfortunately, we are so engrossed in the world, in the riches, in the wealth of this world, that today every person wishes and desires, you know, I want to become the wealthiest person. I want to have all the money. I want to have all the wealth. I want to have this. I want to have that. Why? Just so that I can have the wealth. How long will you keep the wealth? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years. Eventually, you will leave all the wealth behind. And what is going to go with you? It is your deeds. It is your amal. It is your actions. And that, unfortunately, we did not have. So, you know, and to attain that wealth, today, unfortunately, people are with this mindset that just earn the money. No matter how you earn the money, just earn the money. And if you have to look at our pious predecessors, not only from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, go before that. Go to Hazrat Nuh alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam. You will see the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they did businesses. Many of them had businesses. Some of them worked for someone else. Some of them, you know, made their own things and sold it. So whatever the case was, but you will always see them not earning more than they need. If they need this much, then they will only earn that much and then finish. And if we earn a bit more, then they would feel that they have wronged themselves. They would feel that they are doing something wrong. So they always try to keep the wealth as little as possible. Why? One of the biggest questions is why? The answer is that because on the day of Qiyamah, accountability will be given for everything. And you will have to give hisab for everything in this world, for each and every cent which you had. Where did you spend it? How did you spend it? Was it earned in a halal way? Was it earned in a haram way? Was it earned lawfully, unlawfully? You have to answer for all of those things. So these people thought that, you know, the less we have, the less accountability we will have on the day of Qiyamah, the less we will have to keep in our records. And take a worldly example. You know, those who works in companies, in businesses, and at the end of the year, coming December, then, you know, they have to do the accounts for the entire year. All right. And the bigger your stock is, the bigger your value is, the bigger your sales are, the bigger the accounts are. Now people are spending the entire night awake, entire day they are awake, just filling out numbers and numbers and numbers. So the question comes to everyone's mind that in this world, you get stuck. And how bad you get stuck that, you know, your entire day, your entire night, you are busy just for 1 year's accounts. Then again, January, you start again until December, and this December again, you worried. So on the day of Qiyamah, when you have to give the account, not for one day, not for 1 year, for all these years you spent, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years you spent in this world, you must give accountability. The more you had, the more accountability you will have to give. So actually, the one who is in benefit, I would say, is a poor person. He has less, so he has less desires, he has less luxuries, he has less worries, and he has less problems. Person who has more wealth, he has this payment, this thing, that thing, that thing. There's so many things on his mind. A poor person who doesn't have anything, shame. Yes, he has the worry, you know. If I also had this, maybe I would have done this. If I had this, it would be better. If I had a big house, if I had a car. But he doesn't have it, you know. So he is saved from many, many, many wrong things. And you must keep in mind, you know, wealth is one of the main reasons why a person commits many sins as well. Because he has the wealth, he has the means to doing it. He wants to go ma'adra to a bar, jumps in his car, goes, he pays the money, and he wants to buy alcohol, he goes and he buys. He wants to, commit something wrong, he goes and he does it because he has the wealth for it. On the other hand, a poor person, right, if he has the desire in his heart, you know, I want to do this wrong things, if I had the wealth, I would do it, then he's equal. He's also equal in sin like that filthy person who had the wealth and did all the wrong things. But you know, someone doesn't have the wealth and he doesn't have the desires as well, so he is saved from all of that. He won't go to the bar because he doesn't have a car. And maybe that thought is not even in his mind. He won't go and drink the alcohol because the thought is not even in his mind. He has 100 other things to look after. And his day-to-day expenses are not getting, you know, full. Then he will never ever think about other things. So, if you have to look at it in today's time and every time, I would say, If you are earning that much with which your house is running, alhamdulillah, then I would say that is the best for you. Don't go in desire to become the world's richest person, the world's richest man, and have this and have that, and have all the pomp and the glory and the luxuries. By Allah, it looks nice, it seems nice. But once you cross that side of the road, then you will feel that, you know, you have done something and now you are basically in a, you know, they say the quicksand. And you are going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's no way to come out. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us, all those who are in debt, all those who are in losses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove and clear everyone's debts. May Allah ta'ala grant all of you and all of us barakah in our risk, in our sustenance, in our halal risk. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. A pious personality was in a jungle once, and Shaitan said to him, "You have no provisions, and this jungle is deadly. There are no people here either." So as a result, this man intended to pass through the jungle without provisions, to not meet other people, and he chose not to take the main path. Also, he intended on not eating unless ghee and honey are placed in his mouth. Thereafter, he continued his journey. He says, "I walked for as long as Allah Almighty allowed me. Then I saw a caravan that had lost its way. I got down on the floor as soon as I saw them, so that they do not see me. But they continued walking until they stumbled upon me. My eyes were closed. Seeing me, they said, 'It looks like his provisions for the journey have finished, and he has fallen unconscious due to hunger and thirst. Put ghee and honey in his mouth. This may awaken him.' When they brought the ghee and honey, I closed my mouth firmly. When they decided to open my mouth forcefully with a knife, it made me laugh and open my mouth. They asked, 'Are you insane?' 'No,' I replied, 'all praise is for Almighty Allah.' And then I told them, 'By the mercy of Allah Almighty, I am sane.' And I informed them about the incident of the satanic whispers." So this is an example, you know, it's taken from Minhajul Abidin. But look at the life of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would try to carry the less things with them so that there would not be difficulty for them. You know, a traveler, when you travel, let's say you're traveling from here to a different city for 1-2 days, you don't take your entire house with you. Take a few things, because you know, the more things you have, the more worries you have. Take a few things, go there, finish your job and come back. Like that Sufiya Ikram say, a person is a traveler in this world, not going to stay here forever. So why are you gathering so much that, you know, you cannot give the accounts for on the day of Qiyamah? Keep little, be satisfied with it on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, you will be successful also. Alright, so this is some things which everyone must keep in mind. And because in this incident honey was mentioned, we also come to learn that honey, the previous people used to use honey. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran, يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. A colorful liquid comes out of their bellies. There is healing therein for people. فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that in this honey, there is shifa, there is healing, there is cure for the people. Regarding this ayah, it is mentioned in Tafsir Surat al-Jinan, honey is from the most beneficial medicines and it is used in many medicines. And this honey, you know, subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also liked honey. It is mentioned in a hadith sharif that Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam very beautifully has mentioned hadith of Bukhari sharif, or it is reported, كان النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يُعَجِبُهُ الْحَلْوَاءُ وَالْعَسْلِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked sweet edible things and honey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked gourd too, which is in Urdu you can say Loki Sharif. So, you know, you get different types of gourd. You get bitter gourd, which is known as Karela. You get a bottle gourd, long ones. So there's different types of gourd, G-O-U-R-D. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved this. And Sayyidina Anas mentions the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked gourd. So one day someone mentioned to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he liked gourd a lot. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "This is the tree of my brother Yunus alayhi salam." Subhanallah. And seeing the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the Sahaba ikram also used to take the blessings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas narrates, he said that a tailor invited the greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a meal that he had prepared. He too accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the meal. The tailor served the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bread and soup bread and soup made with curd and dried meat. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the greatest and the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking pieces of curd from the dish, and since that day he also liked curd. Sayyidina Abu Talut said, I went to Anas radiallahu anhu and saw him eating this curd. He radiallahu anhu said, O tree, you are dear to me only because the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam loved you. Subhanallah. There are many benefits of eating this as well, Loki Sharif, and I'll give you some beautiful benefits. This gourd which you're speaking about, it contains vitamin C, sodium, potassium and iron. Eating it every day not only grants strength, but it also protects the stomach from various illnesses. Likewise, it is naturally cool, so it protects against the effects of heat and reduces fatigue. Eating gourd increases appetite and reduces weakness. It is beneficial for people suffering from constipation. It is helpful for alleviating liver pain. It works well in treating urinary diseases and jaundice as well. And likewise, it works well in treating gastrointestinal diseases. Its seed oil can be used to treat headaches. It is beneficial for the scalp and helps with sleep. Subhanallah, so many benefits. And the base of everything is that it is the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to also start eating this gourd, Loki Sharif, inshallah azza wa jal, and you will see the benefits. I personally like it a lot, alhamdulillah. And there's different ways of cooking it. I mean, it is a vegetable which can be cooked in so many different ways, alhamdulillah. And it's good, it's healthy, it's taqatwar, and inshallah you will see the benefits in this world, in the hereafter, if you make the intention of following the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll be discussing more about our topic after a short break. We'll listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, we will carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka lagta hai, mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka lagta hai.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka lagta hai,
mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Naam-e Muhammad kitna meetha meetha lagta hai. Naam-e Muhammad kitna meetha meetha lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai. Lab par nagme salle ala ke haathon mein parcham, lab par nagme salle ala ke haathon mein parcham. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta kaisa lagta hai. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta کیسا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
آنکھوں میں مذاق کا سرما سر طہٰ کا تاج آنکھوں میں مذاق کا سرما سر طہٰ کا تاج کیسے کہوں رحمت والا ہم جیسا لگتا ہے کیسے کہوں رحمت والا ہم جیسا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
واسع کتب کلندر سب اس کے محتاج غوث کتب ابدال کلندر سب اس کے محتاج میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
اودنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ آجو ادنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ آج حق کا دلارا باندھ کے سہرا دولہا لگتا ہے حق کا دلارا باندھ کے سہرا دولہا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
آؤ سنائے اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات آؤ سنائے اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ ویلکم بیک ٹو آور سلسلہ You are watching Madani channel and you are watching The Light of Guidance. MashaAllah, in this beautiful discussion previously, in fact before the break we were discussing some beautiful benefits of this vegetable which is gourd, which is loki sharif and we were actually discussing initially about the poverty and how the pious predecessors would like to live their lives, you know, with less riches and a very simple life they loved to live. SubhanAllah. And if you look at the life of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we get these teachings as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, he says, the world is the home for those with no home, and its wealth is for those with no wealth. Only those with no sense gather for it. A beautiful incident of Sayyidi or Murshidi Imam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul Ridwan, is mentioned that a young man from the lineage of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was struck with poverty. Discontent with his circumstances, he used to come to me and complain of his situation. Ala Hazrat is mentioning this. One day, when he was extremely distressed, I asked, if someone's father divorces a woman, is it permissible for his son to marry that woman? The young man replied, no. I said, your great-grandfather, the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Ali, Karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, was alone in a room when he wiped his hand over his face and said, O world, deceive someone else. I have divorced you, whereby you can never return to me. After hearing this statement, does the poverty of the family of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come to you as a surprise? The man responded, I swear by Allah Almighty, your words have put my heart at ease. After that, the man never complained about his poverty again. Subhanallah. How beautiful this lesson of Sayyidi wa Murshidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan is. Ala Hazrat is teaching us that, you know, success is not in gaining all the riches. Success is not in being rich and being very wealthy. No, that's not success. Success is being content, being razi, being pleased with whatever you have. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, your duty is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has kept you better than millions out there. This is what a Muslim should do. Yes, we can make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, grant barakah in our risk, grant barakah in our sustenance. There's no harm. Right? The more barakah you have, the more blessings you have, with the good intentions. Inshallah, I'll give zakat. Inshallah, I'll give sadaqah. Inshallah, I'll go for hajj. I'll take my parents for hajj. I'll send someone for hajj. The more good intentions you make, the more better it is. So it's not something wrong to ask for barakah in your rizq with the good intentions. It's not wrong at all. Alright, but if at that moment you are not very wealthy, you do not have all the luxuries, then you mustn't start complaining, start wailing, start screaming, shouting. Your duty is to say, Alhamdulillah, whatever state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me, I am pleased, I am radhi, I am happy with that state. Subhanallah. So, at the same time, you must keep in mind that if there are some people who are wealthy, as I mentioned now, so it doesn't mean that, you know, you must go and criticize them. And say, you say, you are wealthy, I'm not wealthy, I'm in a better situation, you are not in a better situation. We do not know what every person is going through. It's possible that he's a very wealthy person, but he has so much wealth and he also gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he has given lots of zakat, he has given sadaqah, maybe he gives sadaqah every day. Maybe, you know, he has sent many people for hajj, for umrah. We do not know what he is doing. Maybe he is taking care of some people's households. There are so many good deeds a person can do with wealth, with money. Alright, so we're not here to judge anyone. If someone is wealthy, we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in their wealth and in their good actions as well. And if you are not very wealthy, you make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your barakah and the barakah and the blessings in your rizq. But if you do not have much, remain razi, remain pleased. If you have a lot, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also remain pleased. If you have a lot, don't show pride and takabbur by Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave you all of this within not even a split second, in a millionth part of a split second, Allah ta'ala, if he wants, he can take everything back and you will have nothing. You cannot do anything. On the other hand, this person who doesn't have anything, don't wail, shout, scream. That much you have, it shouldn't be that your shouting, screaming and complaining must be such that all of this must also be taken away from you, and then you really will have nothing. So wherever you are, whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstances, always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always remain razi. You are always pleased with the decision and the fasla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are always pleased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment a person does that, then subhanallah, you are successful in this world and in the hereafter as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mentions in the Holy Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah ta'ala mentions the summary I'm giving to you, that He will test you. Sometimes your wealth will be less. Sometimes your children will maybe leave this world. Sometimes your business will fail. Sometimes this issue, that issue. There will be issues. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. There is glad tidings You know, for those who have patience, for those who have sabr, you have patience, inshallah, the time will pass, Allah Ta'ala will grant you barakah. You thank Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. You thank me and I will give you more. And if you are thankful, I will increase, I will give you more. But the condition is you must be thankful, you must express gratitude, you must say Alhamdulillah, and you must have patience. Then inshallah you will see how your doors will start opening, how ways will start opening from ghaib, from unseen places. No, the help will start coming to you. So we make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act upon whatever we are discussing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to, inshallah, try and instill all these wonderful teachings in our hearts, in our minds. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us amongst those people who are always expressing the gratitude and having sabr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mu'mineen, as believers, take out a time now and say Alhamdulillah for everything. Whatever you have, Alhamdulillah, is better than many people out there. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind.